Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bikini in the Brain. I am here with the lovely neutral toned nails, Ashley Kaltwasser.
Hi. Hello.
You want to hear something funny?
Yes.
One of the bikini pros I was talking to at the show this weekend said, I noticed Ashley's nails were neutral this week.
Oh, that's so crazy. Like, yeah, I want to be very tame this week. So.
Yeah, you guys know what that means.
We don't know. No.
So anyway, with that being said, we're going to go into this week talking about balance, the balancing act, as Ashley calls it.
Yes, the balancing act.
Of all things balance, which I'm really glad. So Ashley lays out these podcasts as she does. She's a great little producer, Ashley is. She, even when she's fully in prep, she produces with bullet points, all those things. And sometimes she'll bring things up that I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't even realize that was part of it. Because I think of balance myself and I think, okay, diet, you know, diet in the in season, diet in the off season, you know, somewhere in between eating nothing but tilapia and then eating nothing but pizza, right?
Yes.
The middle of those two is where balance is what I think. And I think, unfortunately, people always think, you know, balance is going just eating nothing but pizza. So I wanted to go into that this week. But then Ashley had all these other notes of that we'll go into this week. But just so much goes into balance. And I think that you have a really good mind when it comes to balance and how you've been able to manage your life over the years. And I mean, you just stay, you know, really close to stage levels of conditioning, like, and just maintain a good physique even in the off season. So yeah, so I think that no one better to talk about it than you. So I like that you're going to be doing this episode.
Absolutely. So if you guys are regular listeners to our podcast, you know, we've been on a little bit of a rant lately about the word balance. I think people really abuse the word balance and perhaps even make their own definition for it. So I think, you know, our idea of balance is much different than a lot of others out there. Whereas I think of balance just kind of like you said, it's somewhere in the middle, right? It's not like extreme, but it's not easy. It's kind of living in the gray. And I feel like that's where I live a lot, is in the gray. I'm not like always prepping all the time, but I'm not like always in season or off season all the time. I'm in the middle. So I do like to stay a little closer, and it's like more about like a lifestyle and in my good habits that allow me to do that. Right. But like you've previously mentioned, a lot of people will just use the word balance as a justification to go crazy in the off season. And then in the in season, they're so strict. So they go from being so strict and then having whatever they want in the off season. And that can cause a lot of problems, but that's what they consider balance, because they had their fun, they work hard, and then they have their fun, right? Yeah. So they work hard in the in season, and then they have their fun in the off season. And to be the optimal athlete, that isn't really the way people should be doing it, because we tend to forget this is a very competitive sport. And especially the pros out there, this is a professional sport, right? And you always give the analogy, you don't see like a basketball player in the off season just put on like 40 pounds and just stop working out and just eating whatever, going to slob, yeah. Going, being a slob. So if other athletes in other sports aren't doing that, then why are we doing that in a sport that really focuses on our physique and how we look and aesthetics and health, right? So I do think that one thing to mention is, yes, we are a physique athlete, so we do need to get leaner than a basketball player would. So it's technically not, you know, ideal to stay literal stage lean all year round and just diet like crazy. That's not what we're saying, but we're saying you can at least keep it together so that you look the part in the off season. And that's what I consider to be balance.
Yeah. And I think that that's a great analogy to use too. And I think the other thing to take into account, which is, this one's kind of eye-opening that I've saw for people when I mention it, is that if a basketball player came back, you know, 30 pounds, let's say the basketball came back to in season when camp starts and he gained 30 pounds, right? NBA player. Everyone would be like, man, he's really out of shape. Like, it would be all over ESPN. It would be like a thing. Everyone would be like, man, he really came back out of shape. He's 30, 40 pounds overweight, right? He's way out of shape started this camp. What did he do during his off season? So we see that, and we're talking about guys that are 200, 220 pounds to start with. These are giant men. You know, you see a basketball player, you know, it's a professional basketball player. Like, it's no doubt. Like, no one's surprised when you see a basketball player and you're like, oh, are you, He was like, I'm a professional basketball player. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. No one's like surprised by some 5'5 dude, right? It's a, you know it when you see it, right? And they're gaining, you know, 30 pounds and they're like, oh man, he went way out of shape. But then look at the context, right? You're talking about a giant man, right? Who would tower over me. And then we have a 120-pound bikini competitor and so who also gains the same amount of weight. It's a different thing. It's they naturally walk around 100 pounds different weight, right? Mm-hmm. But because it's 25-30 pounds, we say, oh, well, it's like we're trained to think like that's like that maximum number. We have all these like trained numbers. 1200 calories for some reason is a trained number. We're like, oh, you shouldn't diet at like 1200 calories or less. Like that's like a trained number we talk about. 2 hours of cardio, that's like a trained number we're talked about. 30 pounds in the off season seems to be like the max where everyone's like, okay, that's like the maximum you should go to. There's no maximums on these things and minimums on these things. Like throw all those numbers out the door. 30 shouldn't be an acceptable number. That shouldn't be like the max people should hit. And I hear about that all the time. And I hear girls saying, oh, well, I only gained 30. I got right up to 30. And I'm like, that's not good. That's not a good amount of weight because that's the equivalent of that same basketball player gaining about 55, right? And if he gained back 55 versus 30, they'd really be talking about it. And we talk 40, we're talking about this guy gaining almost 80 pounds, right? It's like 75-ish pounds for this guy, 72-ish pounds. Can you imagine that? A basketball player comes back, professional athlete, and he's like up 72 pounds when camp starts. But we don't think about it in the same context because percentage-wise, it's the same for a bikini competitor as it is for that basketball player. That's the same number. Or if like, you know, if for example, let's say you take a bodybuilder who's, you know, 300 pounds in the off season or so, like Nick Walker or something, someone that big, him gaining 100 pounds or something, you know, 30%, like he wouldn't do that, right? But our bikini competitors gain 30% of their weight, 30% of their weight. It's crazy, right? So think about it in context. And that's why I like to shoot for percentages because it's very different per person. You know, Kimber being a very tall person, of course, she's going to weigh more. She's not going to be the same percentage as someone who's 5 foot, but someone who's 5 foot might be, you know, their 12% is going to be significantly different than Kimber's, you know, 12%. So I kind of shoot for those things in the off season. So just to put it in context, don't get stuck to these numbers saying you should be gaining this much. You should be the minimum you should be doing on calories is this much. The maximum cardio you should be doing. There's just get rid of all those numbers because it's very different per person. I should be doing this. What should I be doing? Ashley should be gaining like a maximum of like 10 pounds in the off season, right? Someone else might be different, you know, how they respond, how their body just works. And it might be a whole lot of work for someone to keep, just stay 10 pounds within range. So just kind of work off the percentage to find what's best for you. But I would highly argue that it's best for any bikini competitor who's around 120 pounds on stage to gain 30, 40 pounds in the off season. I would very much say that's not balancing. I would say you're going through and transforming from show to show, ever always chasing your last physique again and again. That's not being a competitor. That's being a transformer, a Decepticon. So that's the transformer. So I'm glad that you mentioned that as like a reference. And as far as diet goes, and mm-hmm. you gave a good example of like what you think is balanced. Obviously, I went into the weight on that. What do you think? I guess what's the hardest sticking point for people that you think in terms of nailing that? Like, what is the issues with finding that middle ground? I think for
Just because I think it's a vicious cycle, I think is what's happening. I don't think truly the girls that are gaining 30 pounds and seem to be happy about it or think it's okay, I don't really think they believe that. I think it's a cope. So the rationalizing, and it's a vicious cycle because it takes like one bad off season, right? Where they ate too much, put on too much weight. Now their in-season is super strict. So now this is the hardest prep they've ever done, the most strict prep they've ever done. So what happens in the off-season after this, you know, 4 months of really strict dieting and lots of cardio, then, well, now they are going crazy because they've been deprived for months upon months. So what are they going to do now in the off-season? They're going to like do the same thing again and worse. And then it just keeps happening and it snowballs. So I think that's, in my opinion, how that's happening. But I think that people are thinking in black and white. They think either in season or off season. And they don't think of the in-between, aka balance, the balancing act. They don't think that, hey, you know, there is that little bit of a gray area. Like, what if I just stayed closer to my stage look this year? Not stage lean literally, but closer, maybe like, you know, 6-8 pounds or something. What if you did that? And I think, you know, for me, I can say that causes my preps to be a little easier by doing it that way. But having like that black and white mentality, I think is what is the root cause of all of it. You know, I think that we think of in-season food as being super, I guess I hate using the word clean, but very basic, simple, you know, broccoli, chicken, fish, asparagus. Like, I'm sure we all have like eight foods in mind that when you think of like contest prep, you're like, yeah, I eat that in contest prep. But they eat a totally different diet in the off season. And, you know, you can still eat the healthy food in the off season too. I still eat chicken and vegetables in my off season. I'll have more of it. I will have extra carbs, extra fats. And I'll be honest, I snack around a little bit more in the off season and I tighten it up on the in season. So I do have little nibbles here and there. So I never feel like I'm missing out necessarily. But I think that, you know, off season isn't like a drastic change for me. I'm just more relaxed and loose with my diet, but I still keep it in check. And I think one thing I can do to keep myself in check is doing weekly check-ins, whether I'm in season or off season. I think it's a good idea so that you're aware of what's going on and how your physique is changing. Because if it's changing too much, and you need to reel it in. And I had a wake up call too before I started my prep. The reason why I started my prep when I did was like, I had a really bad check-in. I don't even know what my weight was, to be honest, but I felt like I crossed the line of like, okay, now I'm too soft for me personally. I need to reel this in before it gets worse. Cause the longer you wait and procrastinate to, you know, get it back, get it in check, you know, the worse it's going to get. So you got to reel it in at some point. I think just being unaware of that can also cause this, because especially in the winter time, a lot of people don't like to prep during the holidays, during the winter. So what's happening is they're like, oh yeah, I'll compete in the summer. So I'm not going to check in at all in the winter time. And in the winter time, we're wearing a lot of loose clothing, a lot of coverage, right? We're not wearing tank tops and short shorts in the winter time. So we're kind of like unaware of what's going on, and we only see ourselves like naked when we shower. So that can be a little bit deceiving, because we think that we're maybe leaner than what we are. And then when you put on those shorts that you haven't worn in a while, you're like, oh my gosh, these are tight. And then you do your check-in and you weigh yourself. You're like, what the heck happened? So check in every week, in season or off.
There you go. easy solution. Yeah. I think what's strange is sometimes these ideas that I think in how they come up are designed to be good for you end up being kind of like they require more questions. And one of them is how you said, do check-ins every week. You know, there's the idea that, okay, if you weigh yourself every day, it's like a terrible thing for you mentally. Like, it's like, oh, it's so bad for you mentally. I'm like, well, what's for a physique competitor, where is that data coming from? For a physique competitor, of why it would be bad for them to be aware of their body where their weight's at every day. Because I haven't seen it. I haven't seen that data. And why is it necessarily bad? Is it bad because that person thinks so? Because they're not in our sport, that they're talking about someone who's already hyper aware of their body, right? So we get these kind of stigmas like, oh, you shouldn't do your check-in all year, every year, because every week, because then it's going to develop you to be super obsessed with it. And I'm like, really? Tell me a bodybuilder who's on stage who's not super obsessed with their body. Right. Like, that's what attracts, that's who it attracts. So why is it bad again? Specifically, why is that bad? Not, you know, like, why is that necessarily worse than not tracking it is what I want to see the differences of, right? Because I think that people just say these blanket statements and be like a psychologist or something, just say this blanket statement, oh, you shouldn't do that because it's bad for you. And everyone's like, okay.
Because they heard it online, yeah, or something.
That's
or
a psychologist. Yeah. I guess that's wrong. I don't want to develop an unhealthy relationship with my scale. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, like that type of thing. And I'm like, you know what I mean? What exactly is bad about it? And what sport, or is it bad to practice more? You know, because we're playing a sport. I think people just forget that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this sport is about being hyper aware of your body. Sorry, that's what it is. That's
what you signed up for.
And on top of that, these people who are doing the sport anyways are already hyper aware. It's not like you can just turn that off of them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, we're going to turn it off. And then, because what's going to happen is maybe they will turn it off, and maybe they will in the offseason, and they'll come back to it, and they're going to, it's so much worse on them mentally to look that way and to find out they're up 30 pounds and have to go through this crazy struggle of prep. So it's like, you have to pick your poison, mm-hmm, because there's a lot of arguments for which one's going to be worse. Yeah, maybe it is. Isn't the best thing to look at yourself like scale every day. I've had a lot of success with doing scale every day in the past, where I would actually write my numbers down every day. I would write my weight and my measurement, my waistline down. Mm-hmm. And I liked doing it, kept me in check. I just wrote it down and just made sure I was staying in check in the morning. I had that one person I told you about a long time ago, and she She was super cute. She was like, yeah, I like what I look like at 100 and I think it was 130 pounds or something. It's like, and if I'm ever above, I weigh every day. And if I'm above 130 pounds, I just diet that day. And if I'm below 130 pounds, I eat a little bit that day. Yeah. I think it's like the cutest, like,
it's so simple.
That's her little system, because she got, it was funny. She was like one of the only clients that I ever like got to their goal. And I mean, what I mean by that is she was one of the only ones who stopped. Like everyone else gets to their goal and they're like, okay, this is my goal now. This is my goal now. Now this is my goal. And they keep changing it. She got there and she was like, okay, I'm good. I was like, what do you mean? Like no one actually like gets there. You know what I mean? It's like this never ending.
Like an ongoing chase.
Yeah. Like we're chasing carrots here. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So, you know, I will say this though. I get the whole not wanting to weigh every day, because like we talked about in maybe it was the last episode or the episode before, there is normal human fluctuation. Like you're not going to weigh literally the same every single day. Even when you're dieting, you might go up a little bit and then the next day you go down and then you go down and then you go up a little bit. So it's a little bit of a zigzag. So I understand why people might not want to weigh themselves every day. And I would say to you, fix that normal human fluctuation error that might occur is you can just weigh yourself every day. And at the end of the week, just take the average. Because the average will be a better indicator of your progress. Are you going up? Are you going down? Because going from day to day, so many things can affect like the day to day weight, you know, water, stress. Did you sleep? Did you use the bathroom? Did you digest your food a little slower this time? Did you eat later in the day last night? So a lot of those things can affect the scale from a day-to-day basis. But if you get a daily or a weekly average, I think that's a better indication.
Yeah. I like people doing their check-in, and that's why I do it once a week. I like people doing their check-in the same morning, the same day of every week, because you get a good collection of data. So if it's Tuesday morning, wake up, fasted after you go to the bathroom. And that should be a good indicator of like the same situation should happen. Your menstrual cycle, the stress of that point of that week of your work, the sleep of your work, you know, if you ate something over the weekend, by the time Tuesday rolls around, how your body's digested it, that type of thing. So yeah, you'll definitely have those natural fluctuations. And just so you guys are aware too, you're never going to have a completely linear prep. Like it's never going to be exactly 0.2 pounds down every week, every day, all the way to prep. It's all just marching like a soldier, just 0.2 pounds down all the way to prep. It just won't work. So so be aware you're going to have those fluctuations. Like you said, sodium, stress, menstrual cycle, all these different things are huge fluctuations.
Absolutely. And you know, I think there does come a point, and I think I'm at that point where you're so in tune with your body, you know what you need to do. Like, I don't think I need to weigh myself every day because I can keep it in check. So that's one of those things that's going to be very individualized. And we're not like recommending everyone needs to weigh themselves every day and then get the average. I don't think that's the case. But if you truly are having issues with like keeping it in check and you think you need that wake up call, it's a little bit of tough love. And you got to be a little strong mentally for this because it's going to mess with your head sometimes when you see a number on the scale that you don't like. But it might be a necessary thing. It's the cold, hard truth. And sometimes we need that tough love.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one of those things you never want to, it's like being sick and you know you're sick. Like you would never want to just see all these signs of being sick and then worry that you ignore these signs for 6 months and you find out that you have this like progressed cancer or something, right? It's like everyone always wants to just to kind of deny that truth for a while, but it's better to just, hey, go check that out. You know, go check out that mole, that weird mole on your arm, because you don't want that to be something weird later on. But it's obviously not that extreme because we're talking weight here, but ignoring the truth is just only going to set you back farther. So just face it, jump on there. Do what you got to do. Do your check-in. Stay checking in every week. I think it's great. If you can't afford coaching every week, check in with yourself every week. You don't need a coach to check in every week. It helps definitely because you're going to something about that accountability. But even if you do it yourself, you just check in every week with yourself, do your measurements, do your weight. I think that's going to be a big part of you not going too crazy in the off season. And it's just staying more focused on it. And then also coming to the realization and like agreement with yourself of what is, Where do I draw the line at what's not balanced anymore? And me just saying it's balanced to justify me eating whatever I want. Let's come to that agreement with ourselves. Is it me eating a meal, whatever I want once a week in the off season? Is that the deal? And then everything else is clean and calibrated. Is the deal where, you know, I gain a certain amount of weight and that's the maximum for me? Like come up with that marker for you so you can at least agree with yourself and have that discussion with yourself. What is really balanced for me? Because the balance that a lot of people talk about, which is, you know, tilapia and asparagus, and then instantly these giant 2000 calorie cookies after the show and just nonstop for a month isn't balanced either. Those are both not balanced. So finding that middle ground of what's going to be what you need to be successful is going to be different for every person, but you got to have, you got to set it up, and it's unlikely it's going to just be willy-nilly for most of you. Some people, willy-nilly. Yeah.
You watch that mouth, young man. I'm going to tell your mother.
Okay. She watches this. She's going to be texting
you
right now.
I hope you have the sensor. Can we go back and censor that?
No, but I'm going to put a trigger sensor warning on it for the my Midwest peoples. So now what about, finding balance in, you talked about, relationships and social life balance and mm-hmm. things like that too.
Yeah. I mean, as long as your circle is aware of what's going on. Hey, I'm prepping. Things might have to be a little different. I can't be going out on the weekends till 2 a.m. partying, might be a little different. So you're definitely going to have to make some social sacrifices. That's to be expected, but that doesn't mean you have to be like closed off and be a hermit crab from the world. You can still do a lot of things with your friends and family that don't really involve food or drinks. There's other things to do out there. There's so many things you can do to spend time with your friends and family that don't involve things that will backtrack you. So people that say that they are really missing out, I think they're just thinking food. There's other things. Okay. So of course it might be a little different, having to switch your routine up and trying to find new activities to do with someone that you've been having traditions with for a long time. But as long as everyone's on the same page, I think that's the best way to go. And sometimes you're not going to want to be as social anyway. When you're getting in prep and you get closer to your show, sometimes you just get so focused. I know I do. So I do kind of like, I let, the people in my life know, like, hey, I'm prepping. I'm like a little bit antisocial right now, but we all need our alone time. So.
Yeah. And so when it comes to prep, I think a lot of it too is the balancing act of like being in prep and nutrition and balance, like, is finding places that are substitute places for places that you'd want to go. So what's funny is that me and Kimber, for example, we have our places where, and she's in prep where we can eat. And so we don't change our going out and eating thing unless I just happen to be traveling at shows, because usually we do that like Thursday or Friday, and I'll get to be traveling a little bit more this year. But there's just, instead of going to X sushi place, we go to now this one called, it's AYCE. It's like has a ton of carbless options on their sushi. So it's a bunch of like just sashimi and stuff like that as part of their it's like an all you can eat place. So they have a lot of those options for us, right? So things like that, going to our normal restaurants, we just substitute it out for different restaurants. So it's like, I think finding that is really easy. It just takes a good effort in the beginning. And then it's like, okay, now we got our places. Like, this is where we're gonna go. We're still gonna live our life normally, as even though you're in prep, we're still gonna live our life normally. Like, it's gonna be like very little inconvenience. What's funny is we keep waiting though for the pizza one, because that's going to be like the big reload. And I'm like, let's go to this pizza place. All she wants is Little Caesars.
I love Little Caesars.
Why is it so good? Why is
that
the one?
It's so cheap and so delicious with extra marinara sauce on the side.
Why is it so
good? You got to get the extra marinara.
I went, so I can still eat, so I'll have my, it's like for me, balance is like, I'll find my, like once a week, I try to have something. Only if I want it. Only if I don't want it, I don't do it, Or if I'm feeling a little soft, I won't do it that week, So I do the kind of weigh myself and kind of assess based on the weight thing. Especially now that I'm working, able to work out 100% again, I'm like, I don't like how I'm feeling, because I wasn't able to work out for 8 weeks with the arm thing. So, I see all these pizza places that I save on like on Instagram and stuff on Las Vegas, and I have them all saved. But yeah, it's funny. I'm still waiting on the Caesars, because I wouldn't want to do that without Kimber. But it's like, why is that so good? But that we're waiting on that one until there's like a long break in between shows. But that's the one we want. It's so funny that you're the same. What is it? It's just nostalgic.
I don't know. I like the non-fancy things in life.
You do.
The fancier it is, the less good it tastes.
Yeah. It's because the deal value of it has to be.
Yeah, I like a good deal. It tastes like a clearance.
The expectation, I think, is higher with the more you spend, right? It's like, this better be worth a $40 pizza.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. It's like a mental thing. Yeah. It's like, I got a good deal. So even if it doesn't taste good, who cares? It was a good deal.
I guess that makes sense, because Little Caesars is so cheap. You're like, well, it's still pizza. At worst case scenario, you're like, well, it's still pizza for $5, right? And then best case scenario, it's actually pretty good. You're like, man, this is the best value ever. Yeah. Plug out. That's a plug for Little Caesars. We got to get a Little Caesars, Little Caesars sponsorship, which we won't be able to do anything with. That's funny. So finding your restaurants, I think, is a big part of it. What's funny is someone in here talked about crumble cookies. She's like, if crumbles never became a thing, this would be a lot easier. Mine is Pink Box Donuts. I like Pink Box Donuts. I'm a sweet guy, not savory guy. But Pink Box Donuts is my thing. I'll get one like every couple of weeks, everything. That's fine. But I think balancing that in, it's only 400 calories. It's not hard to fit that in. So it's not like you need to just eat chicken forever, you know? You can have that once in a while and totally fit it in. I don't think that's a problem at all.
Absolutely. If you think that, if you're one of those people that like, hey, I need a little treat every once in a while, just set your diet up to do so. Have that treat meal option in there. Because I do think there's two types of people. There's the types of people that, well, I would say three. And there's the kind that like, I need a treat meal so I can enjoy myself once a week with my family and go out for dinner and just be, I guess, normal. So there's those kind of people. Then there's the other kind of people that are just like, don't give me a cheat meal because I know that if I eat something that I haven't had in a while that's really good, I'm going to want more and more and more and more. So there's that kind of people. And I think for me, I'm just like I don't really crave it. So why? Don't eat it. Like, I'd rather not. So I'm fine with just not having one right now. So, you know.
Yeah. And you know, I wanted to go into too, because I think one of the problems that people have with competing and finding balance is, and this is on the other side of things like you're talking about, where you just kind of, where people will just isolate themselves basically from all their friends, their family, their everything. And they're just like, I'm just going to focus on competing. And that's all I'm going to focus on. I'm going to do nothing else. I'm just going to focus on competing. I don't think that that's sustainable long-term. I think that's going to build a lot of resentment towards the sport too. Mm-hmm. And I think that people have a unrealistic expectation of what the sport takes as well. Because I'll use an example. Like, you have a good amount of clients. You have time. Like, there's a lot of things you could do if you want. You travel a lot for expos and whatnot. Obviously, you're at the highest level you could be at in this sport, so you get a lot of opportunities that are still going to sound like you're focusing on fitness. But that could be the same as another job. And I think people overestimate how much it takes in prep. And you have to really take that in. And actually, I feel like a lot of people should take this in. Because when you're in prep, what are you really doing that's time-consuming outside of your regular schedule if you're a fitness person already, right? So if you're a fitness person, you're already going to work out for 1 hour a day. That's pretty much a given. 6 days a week, almost everyone, right? Most of you. Let's say 5 days a week for some of you. But for most of you, 6 days a week, you're going to work out an hour a day. All right, so what's the differences in prep? You're working out for an hour a day. When you're in prep, you work out for an hour a day. There's like zero difference in prep. The difference is going to come down to cardio. But if you're doing your regular health and fitness lifestyle and taking it seriously, as anyone who's competing would, even in the off season, you're probably going to be doing 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes of cardio, 4 days a week, 5 days a week. So the difference is going to be you might do 45 minutes of cardio in season. Maybe you'll be one of the people that get up to an hour, but just at the end, it's just the last like 4 weeks that you get to that hour if you do get to it. So your cardio goes from 20 to 40 minutes, right? So for the most of the prep. So you're doing an extra 20 minutes of cardio 5 days a week. Is that really that inconvenient to your life where you're like, oh, I'm in prep now and everything sucks? Like, my whole life is just so different and drastically different. No, like, it's not like you're going from a couch potato to all of a sudden a working out person an hour and a half, 2 hours a day. Like, you're already a fitness person if you're doing prep. So the differences between the prep, I think, is a lot more psychological than it is actually like actual time. You're going to prep your food a little bit more, but you're going to prep your food most of the time anyway. You're going to cook your food anyway. You might be doing it to a larger scale 1 day a week versus every meal. So it seems like it's a lot more on a Sunday or something. But in reality, we put a lot more on the mental side of things into prep. Like, oh, I have to do this. I have to do this. Like, we put a lot more into it than it actually is. I see some people who just fall apart in prep and they're like, I need to do everything. I just need to get rid of everything and just focus on my prep because I don't have any time for anything else. And I'm like, why though? I know a lot of coaches that have like 100 clients that prep all year. You know, I know a lot of people who do that, who are super busy, that are constantly traveling. And I'm like, it's not that much different. And we have to like take it in. Okay, maybe I'm over exaggerating like what's actually happening here, because it's really not that much different than my normal health and fitness lifestyle that I had. I'm just being more focused now. It's really all it is. Like, I think people put too much into it, you know? So I don't know if you have any feels on that. But
yeah, I do. I think you're spot on with that. And I would say too, if anything, there's other sports out there that are way more time consuming than ours. I think when people think of what the hardest part of our sport is, it's the nutrition. And luckily that doesn't really take that much time unless you have to prep everything yourself. And depending on your prepping techniques, I don't know. It really shouldn't take more than a few hours a week though. So if we look at other sports, for example, when I did gymnastics, I would train for 4 hours, but some of it was conditioning. Some of it was technique. I do bar, beam, floor, vault, you know, so very time consuming. Did that like 4 or 5 days a week. And then in track, that was even more time consuming. So we'd have 2-day practices mandatory every time. And then we'd have mandatory week meets every single weekend. So if other sports are able to find time to be social, there's no reason why we can't. Ours takes less. Now, of course, with us, it's obviously training, cardio will take up time and a little bit of posing, but it really shouldn't equal like 4 hours a day or anything, or even like in track was even longer. And, you know, like I said, I had meets every weekend too. So that takes up a lot and it's mandatory. You got to go. And for us, most of us aren't competing every weekend, but even if you are, that's your choice. That's on your time. The great thing is another thing about our sport, it's on our own time, basically.
Yeah.
You know, in college track, it's like, nope, you better be here at this time. And then this time, if you're not, you're in trouble. You better be here. For us, I'm like, this is such a luxury. I'd be like, you know what? I don't want to cardio right now. I'll just do it later. Or I don't want to train arms today. I want to do legs instead. Or, you know what? I don't feel awake enough right now. I'll just, you know, just do it tomorrow and whatever you got to do. So we get the luxury of being on our own time versus being on someone else's time.
Yeah. You know what? We have a couple good comments I want to go into on here as well. And this is one we've talked about before, but it says the problem with balance is that the consequences of even a little overeating aren't proportionate to the time eating them. Just a few treat meals for balance can actually mean a fortnight of eating. So yeah, we've talked about that before. It's such an unfair
fortnight.
I don't know what that was supposed to be. Maybe that's
dieting, fortnight dieting.
Maybe
it's a typo.
Yeah. Probably like autocorrect on a phone or something. Like,
someone's playing some video games.
Fortnight. That's right. So maybe a full night of dieting. So full night of dieting, probably what it means. So, yeah, it's crazy when you think about it, when you're eating it, that's the thing I think that you've talked about before is to actually think about the time, think of the calories as value of time. Like when you're eating it, when you're thinking, okay, this is 1200 calories. This is my whole day of, this would be a whole day of exercising for me. Like, is it worth it type of thing? So I think thinking about it is good. And that's why I kind of draw the limits at, for me, is like the donut. I'm like, it's 400 calories. I can have a hard workout and I can do that. I can do a 400 calories. Right. So I could, you know, let's say it's a pizza at 1200 calories. Okay. I can trade off a couple meals. I'll eat just protein for a couple of those meals. And really I'm going over like 800 calories for my whole day type of thing, you know, but that, so I kind of plan it out that way. And then another one
Fortnite is 2 weeks. It's British. Sorry. We're just silly Americans over here.
Thank you.
We're just silly Americans.
Our British friends over there. That is okay. Look at that. We learned a word today. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Fortnite is 2 weeks. I learned some different things from British people. What I love that. I love crisps or chips and chips or fries and what was it? Oh, I learned one was jelly was something else. Like peanut butter and jelly isn't jelly. Oh, it's like
they use the word proper a lot too.
Yeah.
Let's get a proper podcast. Yeah. This is a proper podcast.
I like that. Proper. Or they say oregano. Yeah.
In it.
I like that. They speak. I wish, why didn't we get that? Like they're so proper. I feel like like when I talk to the British people, I feel like I'm so like a street kid, you know?
I feel unpolished.
Yeah. You know, you guys did it right. They invented the language and we got this, you know,
sorry for disrespecting the language.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Which is ruined.
But another one came in. Is this the one here? Yeah, this is the one here. So, and this is a good one. So from Tiffany, it says my cardio ends up being from 35 to 45 minutes, in off season to 1.5 hours to 2 hours in season. without your lift, something about your legs taking so much to get lean. So here's the thing.
I know what's going on that's wrong here.
Yeah.
So I already know it. I already see it.
So the reason that you're getting up to 1.5 hours or 2 hours of cardio in the off season is because your settings when you're starting your prep are already starting at 45 minutes.
That's more than me.
Yeah.
So that right now in season.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. So the goal of the off season, and we should, maybe that'd be the goals of the off season, could be a podcast, would be to get your, so it's to get your calories as high as possible, but also to bring your cardio down as low as possible. So you don't create a starting point of, let's say, 45 minutes of cardio. If 45 minutes is your starting point of prep and cardio, which for me, I try to have my clients not even, if I cannot even get them there, then I will, that's like a successful prep. I'm going to try to not get them there. Not everyone can do it. But I'm going to try. And if I do get in 45 minutes, you're talking 8 weeks into prep, maybe 12 weeks into prep, maybe not at all. So I'm trying to give them the lowest amount of cardio to create the result I need for that week, with the maximum result, basically, for the lowest amount of cardio. If you're starting from 45, you got to remember that's your set point. That's like your starting point, right? You're starting from 45. Where can your coach go from there? Well, 50, right? That's your start. That's your week one prep. What is going to create a stimulus or create more work than she was doing before to create a result? Well, 60 minutes, you know, it's 30% up from where she was. It's realistic, but it's your starting point. So maybe your calories are a little too high in the off season where you have to offset to have 45 minutes of cardio to offset the weight gain. So maybe bringing down those overall calories, maybe bringing up the intensity in the workouts in the off season, but bringing down the cardio. And I think shooting for 15, 20 minutes of cardio 5 days a week is a realistic starting point for people in prep. Not everyone needs to. I try to get people even lower than that if I can. I try to get people to 15 minutes like 3 times a week for a physique athlete in off season. Mm-hmm. Not everyone can do that, I will say. But maybe it's a calorie thing for you. Maybe you're just not a high calorie burner. And you just, you know, you have to get that corrected. Maybe you have to look at your hormones and see if maybe you're, you know, maybe there's something going on there that we have to look at. But I don't think it's very realistic for most people to maintain 45 minutes in the off season cardio, you know, daily. I don't think that's a realistic thing. That's pretty much like prep all year.
Yeah. And I think what happens too is some people are very much like a routine person and they're like, oh no, I got to get my workout and my cardio in the morning. It's like sets my day up and, you know, maybe they're active people to begin with. So you don't want to like take the joy away from them if that's what they love to do. Cause some people are just convinced they need to do that. Whatever the case may be, we're not saying you have to just like sit in a chair, you know, and just be lazy. I mean, there's other ways you can kind of do a little bit of cardio, but without doing it, even just like swapping running for like even fast paced walking might do the trick. And then just use like true cardio for in season. You know, you can do that. Or if you just like are, it's part of your routine, like, no, but I always wake up in the morning and then I go to the gym to do my cardio and then I come back and shower. I would even say time better spent like in the off season doing like an extra little workout instead of cardio. Like if you have a lagging body part and you're like, oh yeah, it's my shoulders, just instead of doing that 45 minutes of cardio, better spend that time on doing your extra credit shoulder stuff and then finish on with the rest of your day. But I understand some, like, you know, especially if this person's like a runner or something, they're used to being active even when it's not in season or off season. So it could be one of those things, but I think more times than not, it's they mentally think they have to do it just because, like, if they don't, they're going to like, it ruins their routine or disrupts it.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely get that. And it's just, you know, you have to pick your poison. And then if you're choosing to do this sport at the highest level, I think that that's going to be one of the things you have to kind of commit to. That's a problem you run into a lot of people that are like in between two sports. They have like two hobbies like that. It does make it more difficult in the long run. I run into that problem. So I do run into that problem with, every now and then I'll get like an Orange Theory coach or a aerobics instructor, and they're doing so much cardio all the time. They can't not do cardio. So then their cardio ends up super high in the off season too. So, that's, you know, if you're running into one of those problems, I totally get it, but that is probably like, that's like a 90% shot, the reason why that's happening. So, it's shoot for a lower cardio in season and then, or off season. And, I think you'll be fine. And actually, you know what? We're getting some good ones today. I wanted to mention this one. So Laura had a really good comment here. She said, people in general have conflated being aware and managing your weight and health and fitness with eating disorders. Mm-hmm. It's hard because the habits are the same. Oops, sorry. Another comment came up and moved it up. It's hard because the habits are the same, weighing in, monitoring food, but they're worlds apart. And I think that that is a great, great thing to mention here.
That's so true.
That's exactly what I was speaking about. You know, there's unhealthy would be weighing in every day and then like, oh, I'm yelling at yourself, I'm so fat, whatever, right? And like not eating because of your weight that day. Healthy, I think, is there's nothing unhealthy about weighing yourself every day and seeing where you're at.
Yeah. You know? And it's all how you like process it. And I think like different people will kind of think of it in a different way. And it's, you know, for me, it's you. It's like, I remember I got that question on the Q&A episode, like, how do you feel in the off season when your body's not the same? Or what, how was it worded? Do you have negative self-view in the off season? And it's like, you know, I'm definitely not stage lean all year round. I'm closer than most, but I'm still like not shredded year round like a lot of people think. But I never really think of like, oh my God, I look so bad right now. It's more of me. It's like, oh, I got some work to do. If I put on too much weight, it's like, I got some work to do. I don't want to do this work. But I never think of it as like I guess my mindset's a little different. It's, I don't have the eating disorder, obviously. So then I'm just more like, oh, this is the work I got to put in to get this weight off. But it's never like I think badly of myself. It's more of like such a daunting task if I have to put on too much weight. So I think you need to know where your mindset's at. And if you find yourself drifting into that eating disorder mindset, you got to like be like, wait, no. I'm using this for data. This is something I need to do for, you know, this sport and to make sure I keep it in check so I don't develop an eating disorder. Hopefully that would be the process your mind goes through.
Yeah, as long as it's healthy, we're just saying, you know what, as long as it's healthy and you're doing it the right way and there's nothing wrong. I don't think it's a great idea for everyone to just jump on a scale every day. That's not what I'm trying to sell here. Mm. It's just that I don't think that it's necessarily the bad thing if you're aware of your body, because that's what we attract. I've found that the sport will attract, because the way you have to eat in this sport, I find that people are healthier when they do the sport than when they're not doing the sport. And when it comes to the eating part of it, because you get a lot of people who will do our sport because maybe they're anorexic when they started. But then they find out, oh, I don't put on any muscle unless I eat. Like I get weaker. I'm not getting stronger. I'm not putting on the muscle. I'm not looking the way I want to look unless I eat. And it kind of helps some of the people to do that. Yeah, maybe those are the people that are crazy, crazy aware, but it's better than what they were doing before.
Yeah.
Right. And if someone was, you know, obese before, and then now they're losing weight and now they're still hyper aware, well, it's better than being obese. It's healthier for them to be obese. No matter what anyone says out there, it's healthier to be fit than obese. So so I find it's just finding that, again, this is a balancing thing, right? The best of those things would be eating healthy and eating calories close to your maintenance calories or a slight surplus or a slight deficit. You know, that would be the healthier option out of those things. So that's where I hate when these people come in. They're like, they have good intent. I don't think any of them have bad intent, but I do hate when they come in and like, oh, you shouldn't weigh yourself that much, or you shouldn't pay attention to anything you eat in the off season. Just allow yourself to live. And that's balance. And I'm like, dude, you're selling the wrong thing and you're setting a bad example, because though you may have a metabolism that allows you to do that, or though you may be able to manage both of it, even if you don't have the metabolism to eat bad and then go back to clean and like manage when you gain too much, not everyone does. A lot of people don't realize it until it's way too late and they're up 40 pounds and they wake up and they hate the way they look. They hate the way they feel. And they're like, I need to diet again now, hard now. Like that's what I need to do right now. Like they're sending an email to Adam. Let's start. I want to do a prep in 14 weeks. And they email me and I'm like, oh yeah, I don't think we can lose 40 pounds in 14 weeks. Like, I don't care. Let's just get as close as we can. Right. That's what happens on the other end of that people don't talk about. And then they do it again and they do it again. And then 3 years later, they're like, I hate bodybuilding sport. It ruined me, ruined my metabolism. I'm like, no, it didn't. Your lack of ability to handle balance ruined it. That's why you're not motivated to do shows right now. That's why you're saying you're not sure if you're going to compete next year or not, because you can't stay motivated. You can't find balance. Like, be real with yourself about it, you know, find it and have that conversation with yourself. So, and I think that's something that just a lot of people don't do. And they like to just demonize whatever is the good thing to do, saying, oh, I would never want to eat clean all year, like whoever, because then I'll never have any fun or balance. Just setting a bad example, you know?
And I want to go back to something you said the other week, and I loved it. You said either you're suffering a lot in a short period of time, or you're suffering just a wee bit every day. And I would also push back and say, it's not even that I'm suffering a little bit each day. I'm just a little bit more uncomfortable maybe each day. Because if it's on a day to day and you do it for a long period of time, it doesn't become really suffering, more of just maybe a little bit uncomfortable at times. So I thought that was perfect, because it's so true, right? You have those people that try to cram like that 40-pound weight loss in 14 weeks. And they're going to be miserable for that 14 weeks if they can even get there. They're going to be miserable. And then you have the other people that are like, you know, keep it together a little better. And all you have to do is like chip away 100 calories here and there, give them 10 more minutes of cardio here and there, and then they're good to go. So they're getting a little bit uncomfortable sometimes, but they're never, I would say, suffering. And I think that's a really good thing to think about, because that truly is what balance is, right? You're more kind of in the middle throughout rather than the extreme of black or white or off or on. So I like that. That was really good.
It's a fun one, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually got a good amount of feedback from that. So, I was like, this needs to evolve. Maybe you guys can name it something else, 'cause I think it's something that we should all come up with, like a comfort bank.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, you're going to take either like all of it out at once, but the bank itself doesn't change. Like it's X amount of comforts you're going to have to get rid of to get in shape, right? Yeah, exactly. Either you get all those comforts in 16 weeks or you just take a little bit of a deposit out every day. So I got to figure out how to word that.
Yeah,
right?
If you take a little bit out every day, you might not even notice you're in discomfort.
Yeah. You know? I think people think it's unrealistic. Guys, I have people prepping. I don't personally have a lot of clients. I am going to take on more now when
comfort
I'm living
coins.
Close. Comfort coins. That's kind of cool.
In the bank.
Tiffany's on fire today.
We have two people on fire today. You're on fire.
But I got to get you doing less cardio in the off season, Tiffany. We got to do that. All right. Tiffany and Laura, Tiffany, you're out live. Can you agree to that? You're going to try to do less cardio in the off season. Can we do that?
Yes.
So, comfort coins is pretty good.
I like
comfort
that.
Coins. How many comfort coins?
Currency.
Yeah. It's like Mario. You're like, you know, how you kill a guy, he explodes in coins, you know, that type of thing.
I like to think of it kind of in a different way too. It's like a little bit of a pendulum swing here. So like the farther you have to go to prep, the harder it is. Then the pendulum is going to swing the other way in the off season. Now it's going to be the loosest off season you ever had, which then causes the hardest off in season you've ever had. And
better.
It just keeps getting worse.
I like that too.
Yeah, I like
you. We got to make a t-shirt, either comfort coins or pendulum swings.
Comfort coins is way more catchy.
Comfort coins is fun. That's
Dude,
fun. Comfort
that
coins.
Is, you better save your comfort coins.
I like it. Save your, how do we, yeah. So it's your saving, your spending. Daily? How does it go? We have to figure that out. What's going to be a fun one?
We can do something about a budget, budgeting your comfort coins. You know?
Actually, this is evolving. This is good. Budgeting your comfort coins. I like this. Tiffany, you started something here. This is great.
Then you can buy something with it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you buy happiness with it, right?
Happiness.
You buy comfort with it.
And
oh, you're
attaining
buying
goals.
Comfort. You're buying comfort daily with it.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
You're buying comfort at a certain point. Like you have to spend it on comfort, like a little bit of discomfort now or a lot. Yeah, okay. Okay. I like it.
We're getting somewhere.
Yeah,
we'll marinate on
this. This is fun. There needs to be a t-shirt for this one. And we'll donate it. We'll donate monies from this t-shirt gain to people who gain too much in the offseason and need to pay a lot for coaching. I don't know.
They should not be rewarded.
Yeah, true. All right. So a deposit. See, look, everyone's going on fire with this. Michelle says you get some sort of deposit for good activities. LOL. So we have another question come in too. Which is fun. It's kind of turning into a fun thing, right? The question is, how do you manage being hangry, keeping positive interactions with others between meals, managing a shorter fuse, maintaining positive self-talk, and first-time bikini competitor just started prep?
Contest prep crankies. Yes. I had those last week.
Did you? I'm glad I wasn't there.
Like, I had these boxes of Jell-O in my hands, and I was bringing them upstairs. And then Hugo was like,
oh, no.
I thought you sweeped and there's this hair on the floor. And it just like set me off. I'm like, I just like threw the Jell-O pack. I'm like, I just got home.
Did you?
I just got home. Give me a minute.
That's so great.
Like, and then I realized like 30 seconds after, I'm like, that was so unnecessary and dramatic. Like I could have just said, I just got home. I'll get there in a second. Like, why? I don't know. But anyway, it happens.
It happens.
Just say you're sorry.
Yeah. Hugo's the sweetest boy. He's the sweetest guy.
He's very patient.
I'm sure he was not ready for that.
He just like looked at me and like walked away.
He's the best.
Like, see, that's what I mean. He just walks away.
He's the embodiment of a, so there's the saying that you say in like relationships, and it goes, do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? You know? So it's like,
he'll just walk away whenever I go crazy.
He's a, do you want to be happy?
It's not worth it. I'll just walk
away. It's so hard to be that guy. Cause every relationship's going to have it. No matter how perfect your relationship is. It's funny. Me and Kimber, whenever we get in a fight, I always say, oh, I'm glad we had our last fight. It's like a joke. Or we'll say, well, I'm glad we had our first fight or our last fight. But every relationship has it. But yeah, the saying, do you want to be happy? Do you want to be right? Whatever I know, no matter what I say is going to progress this. Even if I'm right, I'm like, I try to, but I'm not as strong as Hugo is sometimes. God, give me the power. But he's so good. He's so consistent at it. You know, where he can just be like, I don't know if it goes through his head or he's like, do I want to be right? Do I want to be happy? Just walk away. It's so great.
He's smart because he knows that, like, first off, it's not worth it. But then it makes me think I'm dumb because then I just have to think about, like, right away. I'm just like, why did I do that? And then I'm like, sorry, I got a little cranky there. My bad.
I have mine a couple times a year.
So you're not even conscious prepping.
No, I have my boss ones. And then I'm like, man, why did I say that? Like, that's what I have. And I come in and I say, sorry, I feel bad for a couple times a year. Oh, man. Thank you, guys. Staff. I'm really sorry when I do it. So we all have.
I was cranky with you before, too.
It's pretty
rare. I think Hugo gets it the worst.
Oh, he definitely gets it the worst.
I don't know how you would react if I just threw little packs of gel on the floor. Because you said something.
That's a silly one. That's a definitely an obvious one. You know, I don't know. God bless him, right? You found a good one. Yeah. So anyway, with that, that's a funny story. Are we ending it there on that story? We have any more?
We still have another little thing I want to talk about very briefly. So, you know, like I've mentioned, your in-season, off-season body will be a little bit different. It shouldn't be drastically different. We want to stress that. You should never be in off season and it looks like you can't tell if someone ever lifted a weight or is in the sport. I never personally want to get to that point. And I think, like, for me, I keep it even tighter because I've always been an athlete. So this is what people don't understand about me, is like, I've always been an athlete. So I always want to look the part, and it feels better for me to be lean. Like, I feel better when I'm a little leaner. I feel like I'm more, I can jump faster, or I can jump higher, run faster, run longer. I'm very efficient, very stealth, very agile. I like that feeling. So my in-season, off-season bodies, I try not to let them go too differently the other way. But just know that even when you do keep it as tight as I do, you're still not going to have a stage lean body, right? But there is a very small portion of girls that they'll be like maybe up by 2 pounds from their stage weight, still look like they could just walk on stage at any time. Maybe their abs are just like a little bit blurred and they get like worried. They're like, oh no, I don't have six pack anymore. Like, it's, you know, or their tie-ins are disappeared. I don't have tie-ins in the off season, you know? But just know that there is a little bit of a variance there, even if you do keep it together. And we shouldn't really obsess over that so much. Just know that you're giving your body a little bit of a rest, a little bit of break. It's not stage lean, of course, but you still look good. And as long as you keep it together, I want everyone to have that mindset. So we have the opposite end of where girls will gain 40 pounds and think it's okay, but then some girls will gain like 5 pounds and freak out. And it's like, that's normal, you know, in the off season. You can't be stage lean literally all year. You can get close, but if you are stage lean all year, you're probably not going to make the best progress. And that, again, this is a rare thing. It usually happens the other way around, but there is that very small portion, you know, and I know that my off season body, you know, it's not as crispy, but I still look like an athlete in my opinion. So I feel, you know, good about it. And I think that's something you need to know about yourself, like, and just prepare yourself mentally for it if you are overly critical of your body. Because I think that that's part of our sport too, is we're very critical. Sometimes we can be overly critical when we don't need to be. Just allow yourself a little bit of grace sometimes in the off season. Just know that you're not going to look exactly like you did on stage 365 days of the entire year.
There you go. That was a great, I think that especially coming from you, that means a lot to people. Because people, I think people just think, oh, Ashley's always in stage shape. And I'm like,
I'm close to it a lot of times.
Yeah.
But not literally.
Yeah. It's, it's, you know, even when she's close to it, it could still be like 3 weeks, like mm-hmm. fastest to prep. Right. And that's, yeah. you know, that's staying pretty tight. And that's like in the mix of things. That's like when mm-hmm. the season's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, 6 week preps and stuff with her, it's still very, you know, it's going to happen, you know? So, thanks for saying that. Cause I think people think, oh, she just jumps on stage.
Yeah. And I think people think I'm like way too harsh to where like, I'm like shaming people for gaining like 5 pounds or 10 pounds yeah. off. She's like, no. There's an acceptable range yeah. for sure. And I'm never like too hard on people that gain 10 pounds. Like that's totally normal. It's just when we go out of that little range is when we start to get a little worried, like, oh, you know, gotta reel it in. But yeah, I don't have times in the off season. My abs get blurred out in the off season. So definitely not what you see on stage 365, especially after my surgery. Cause like I've mentioned, I got a little softer than I would have liked to in this off season. I kind of expected though, I was getting a little sedentary there after my recovery, but after seeing that one check and it was like that wake up call I need, I'm like, oh, nope. It was that one in-person check and I didn't weigh myself that day. I don't know if you remember, but I'm mm-hmm. like, ooh, nope. We got to reel it in. Time to reel it in. No ifs, ands, or buts. And I started the prep the next day. Like, yeah, we got to get together.
So to finish up today, which is a great, I had a lot of fun with this podcast, actually. This is we've done so many, but sometimes they're just more fun than others. This one was one of the more fun ones. So to finish up today, we never got to the answer of what do you do about being hungry? We were talking about the funny story.
Oh,
so one of the things I just realized anyone will not answer.
Sorry.
More times than not, we confuse hunger with hydration. So start or there.
Cravings.
Yep. Yeah. So start there. There's an estimate that over 70% of people are somewhat dehydrated. Even fitness people, especially fitness people that are in prep, because you're sweating a lot. You're not eating as much food. You're not eating as many carbohydrates, which have water in them. So that is something that I would start with. And then start with eating more fibrous veggies too, that are a little bit more filling. So start with water, then go to veggies. Adding veggies is pretty easy to do in terms of a volume base. And then it just comes honestly time of getting used to it too. Like if you, right when you start prep, and if you've been eating a lot of volume of food and then you go to prep and you have a lot less volume, that's when I generally say, okay, increase the veggies, then increase the water intake, then see if that's the issue. And then you'll get kind of used to having less volume of food. And then one other,
I got to do this one. Cause this person must be new here. This person must be new.
What does it say? Oh, Ashley K, are you competing this year outside of the Olympia?
Oh my gosh, you must be new here. I'm definitely not one to only compete once per year. The heck?
I think it makes the sport so fun.
You got the wrong one. You got me mixed up with someone else.
I think it makes the sport so fun that that
if
people...
there's one person that's not going to compete just once, it would be me. I promise you. So
and then
quite the opposite.
Yeah, that's funny. You can't even keep this one off stage. So, and I want to give a shout out to Tiffany here, who's, look at this, self-reflection, growth during the podcast.
Love it.
Tiffany says she'd like to, in reference to me saying I want her to do less cardio in the off season, which is, I think, the direct reason why she's doing 2 hours of cardio in the in season. She said, if I'm being honest, after hearing y'all's thought, maybe I did have too much freedom in my meals during the off season and I just didn't realize it. I keep hearing too much about balance, in quotation. Look at that.
Gets you. The word balance has gotten me before, and that's why I took 2017 off, and it was the most unhappy year of my life. So stick to the true balance and not this phony balance that everyone's pitching you.
Yeah. And if you're a professional bikini competitor, professional any competitor, understand that you set an example for people. And if you're going off the rails and calling it balance and saying you need to do this to people, remember, you're setting an example for people. Set a good example. That is something that is within your power to affect people's lives. And that's why I sometimes come off as a jerk, even though I'm not, because I see the back end of it. I see the client writing me who's sad and who's crying, who doesn't like the way they look, who's depressed because of the way they look because they had too much balance. I get that, right? I see it all. So understand that, you know, there's going to be a consequence for that going too far. And you're always going to pay the price for it one way or the other. So anyway, with that was a fun balancing one.
Yes.
We balanced out to a good podcast, exactly an hour.
Yes, we sure did. Thank you guys all for tuning in. Thank you to Nebbia Fitness for sponsoring this podcast. Is there any other words you'd like to leave off with, Adam?
I would just say, just watch for the show list coming out. And you guys have a great week.
Bye.